You'll find the scripture in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Let's stand together while we read the scripture. I'm always humbled to stand in this place where all these great men of God have stood down through the years. I do thank God for Camp Zion. It's an oasis in a desert, and only heaven will reveal, I'm sure, just what this place has meant to my life personally and the influence that it's had on me. I'm grateful for Brother Farley, for his friendship, his dedication and separation to God. And I pray that God will be pleased to speak to us now through His Word. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And then also in verse 21 of the same chapter. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gates was of one pearl, and the streets of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city hath no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there should be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb should be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, as we bow in Your presence, we come first of all to ask You to forgive us of every sin, every word, every thought, every lust, every action, every attitude, everything and anything about us that's not Christ-like. Our becoming as a child of God, I pray that You'll cleanse us of it. We're aware that You're holy, You're righteous. You cannot and will not hear us if we regard iniquity in our heart. We pray today that nothing shall be between us and You. We've come to worship You and to honor You. Thank You for these that are here. Thank You for this camp. Thank You for the faithfulness of Thy servants, for the Word of God that we've heard even today. We're grateful, our Father, that You've not left us without a witness in this world. We're grateful for the Word of God. Thank You for speaking to us. Our Father, I pray now that You'll be pleased to touch Thy servant. Give us that special anointing. Illuminate our mind and loose our tongue. And may the Word of God go forth in mighty power. All that You're pleased to do for us and through us and in us, We'll be careful to give you the praise in the name that's above every name, the name of our blood-stained Redeemer. We humbly pray. Amen. I want to speak to you as we look at these verses. Really not an exposition, but in a feeble way, a description of the city of God. I want to speak to you about heaven, my home. The tourist industry in North Carolina has a slogan that says, I like calling North Carolina home, and so do I. But far better than that, I like calling heaven my home. When I visit another country, I like to learn everything that I possibly can about that country, about its culture, about its climate, about its customs. And that's true of my heavenly home. The Bible says, for where your treasure is, there is your heart also. No human lips could ever describe heaven. It's reported that when Dr. R.G. Lee was dying, that he said, speaking about heaven, I did not even begin to do it justice. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Someone has said the book of Romans is a book of much more. Much more being saved by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. But the book of the Revelation is a book of no mores. Much of what we discover about heaven is revealed by what will not be there. For example, in the 21st chapter, the first verse, we're told that there was no more sea. Same chapter, verse 4, no more tears. Also, verse 4 declares, there'll be no more death. Verse 4 also says, no more sorrow. The same verse declares, there'll be no more crying. Verse 4 also declares, there'll be no more pain. The 22nd chapter, the 3rd verse says, there'll be no more curse. Chapter 22, verse 5 says, that there is no night there. Heaven is an indescribable place. I remind you that heaven is a place, a real and a literal place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Matthew 6:19-20 admonishes us, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. That could only be said of a literal place. Heaven is not a state of mind, but heaven is an actual, a literal, and a real place. Revelation chapters 21 and 22 describes a place, not merely a state of being. Heaven is a perfect place. Perfect because God made it. Colossians 1:16-17 says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or powers or principalities, all things were created by Him, and He is before all things. God created heaven. He's the Creator. God created this city. God, of whom Job said, doeth great things past finding out, and wonders without number. It's that same God who is the Creator, the Designer of heaven. Heaven is not only a perfect place. Heaven is a permanent place. Abraham looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. We were reminded this morning in Hebrews 13:14 that here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now the question, is heaven a place? Is heaven a real place? Is about as reasonable as asking the question, is there melody in music? Is there heat in fire? Is there news in the newspaper? Are there crooks in Washington? Heaven is a real place, a literal place. The Bible reminds us that there are no continuing cities on this earth, but we seek one to come. thinking about all the great and all the wondrous cities, cities of wonder on this earth, cities such as Athens, cities such as Babylon and others, all buried beneath the rubble of time. Then think about the cities of today, London, Paris, New York, Moscow, Tokyo, Berlin. All these will one day pass away. There never has been a permanent city, and there never shall be. But heaven is a permanent city. The songwriter said, "A tenor of cottage, why should I care? They're building for me a palace over there. Though exiled from home, may I sing all glory to God. I am a child of the King." There are no permanent cities in this world, but heaven is a permanent city. As we think about heaven, our home, you note first of all, heaven's location. Look at its direction. We are told in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 17, Lucifer, who became Satan, decided to ascend to the throne of God. I want to remind you that God did not make the devil. God made Lucifer, and Lucifer became the devil. But the devil said, Lucifer said, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north." Heaven then is a fixed location. Heaven is the dwelling place of God. Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." We are told in Genesis 17, 22, after God talked with Abraham, that God went up from Abraham. Jesus said in John 3, 13, "No man hath ascended into heaven," or up into heaven, "but the Son of Man, which descended," or which has come down from heaven. We're told in Psalm 75, verses 6 and 7, "Promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." You notice that the direction north is left out. The reason? Because promotion comes from God. That is, from the north. And we're told that promotion does not come from the east or from the west or the south. Promotion comes from God. And therefore, the direction north is left out because north is the residence of God. North is the dwelling place of God. That is heaven. The fictitious, mythological character called Santa Claus does not live in the north. Rather, it's the dwelling place of God. Psalm 48, 2 says, "Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, in the sides of the north, the city of the great King." God gave Moses instruction to pour out the blood of the sacrifice on the north side of the altar toward the Lord. Heaven is up. When we talk about heaven being up, when the Bible says that heaven is up, it's exactly right. From any point on earth, if you go in the north direction, you're going up. It's not by accident that men say down south or up north. Neither is it by accident that the North Pole is the top of this earth. There are three heavens. There's the atmospheric heaven, the place where the birds fly. 2 Peter 3:10 says that the heavens shall pass away with a great noise and the fervent heat. Then there's the planetary heavens, the place of the stars, where the stars are located. Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. And then there's the celestial heaven, the third heaven, the dwelling place of God, the future home of all the saints. In 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul describes a man who undoubtedly was himself, but he describes that man as calling out from under a rock pile outside of Lystra and saying, "I don't know if I'm in or out. up or down, but I've been up in the third heaven, and I've seen things that are not lawful for man to utter. I've heard unspeakable words. Not only know the location of heaven, but you'll note its dimensions. Revelation 21:16. We're told that this city is 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles long. If Daniel Boone is in heaven, there'll be plenty of elbow room. We're told that there are 12 gates of solid pearl. Someone has estimated that a gate in proportion to such a wall should be about 100 miles wide. And there are 12 gates. Beyond the gates lies the most beautiful place the wisdom of God could conceive. Beyond the gates lies the most perfect place that God could create. One scholar describing the city of God describes it like this: as a solid cube of golden construction, the base of the city would stretch from the farthest point in Maine to the farthest point in Florida. Its every street is one-third the diameter of this earth. The number of main avenues are 1 mile above each other, and a mile apart would total 8 million miles. Oh yes, there's plenty of room in that city. You note then its dominion. The supreme authority of the sovereign God rules this city. Revelation 7:10. Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. Revelation 7:15. He that sitteth upon the throne shall dwell among them. Revelation 22:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Satan's dominion does not run within these walls. There's no rebellion. There are no rebels in heaven. Satan's own slaughter causes no tremor to its walls. It is an eternal city. Its foundations are everlasting. But then you note heaven's population. Look at the congregated multitudes. Revelation 7:9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, of which no man could number, all of them out of every nation and kindred and people and tongue, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne. Hebrews 12:22-23 says, but you're coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and in the spirits of just men made perfect. Heaven will be populated by saints and with saints. We will know each other in heaven. 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly, and now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. Matthew 8:11 says, Jesus said, and I say unto you, that many shall come out of the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Hebrews 11:16. But now they desired a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. They're my kind of crowd. Now the major network news agencies might be ashamed of us, might be embarrassed of us, but God is not ashamed of us. Hebrews remind us that our elder brother, the Lord Jesus, is not ashamed to call us His brethren. They're my kind of people. Heaven is my home, my eternal home. There'll be no empty mansions. There'll be no for rent signs. Heaven will be populated Heaven will be filled with saints that have been saved by grace and washed in blood. Revelation 3:20. Our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. Luke 10:20. Jesus said, "Rejoice because your names are written in heaven." John Newton, the great hymn writer, said, "When I get to heaven, there'll be three amazing discoveries. First of all, I'll be amazed at some people who are there that I did not think would be there. Secondly, there will not be some people there whom I thought would be there. But thirdly, the most amazing thing is that John Newton will be there." What about that? This old sinner saved by grace, once a stranger, once an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, without God, without hope in this world, will one day actually walk on the streets of gold, streets of transparent glass. Heaven is prepared for the people of God. I'll be there by the grace of God. Isaiah, after describing the humiliation and the suffering of the Messiah, ask the question, "Who have believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Now the Jews were ready, and they were willing to accept a glorious Messiah, one that was exalted. But when Isaiah described His suffering, His passion, His humiliation on the cross, they refused, and they would not receive Him. And Isaiah was led to ask the question, "Who hath believed our report?" We have the answer recorded here. All those that have been saved by the grace of God, all those that believe the gospel report will be in heaven. Those to whom the arm of the Lord has been extended in salvation. My name is written in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Far more important than having your name in society's social register of who's who is to have the blessed assurance that your name is recorded in heaven, that your name is written, is in the book of life. I can read my title clear to mansions in the sky. John declares, "As many as received Him, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God." There's no doubt about it. There's no question about it. One day, I'm going to walk in the city of God. You know, this multitude, the congregated multitudes, you know that they're clothed as well. Look at the clothed multitudes. In Revelation 7:9, they're clothed in white robes. And they're waving palm branches of victory, crying, "Worthy is the Lamb." They're clothed in the righteousness of the Son of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God." And I like to say that I'm grateful to God that one night, April the 15th, 1958, 37 years ago, this coming April, I rejoiced that the perfect man went to his heavenly wardrobe, found a robe of righteousness with my name on it. And the grace of God winged its way past sunrises and sunsets, came to planet Earth, Lenore, North Carolina, stripped away the filthy rags of an unrighteous 9-year-old boy, but immediately clothed me in the righteousness of the Son of God and qualified me for heaven. I'm going to heaven not because I'm a Baptist, not because I'm a preacher, but because I have the wedding garment. I'm clothed in the righteousness of the Son of God. You must have your name in the book of life to enter heaven. You must have the wedding garment. That is the righteousness of Christ. This clothing is suitable for the climate is holy. The fine linen, clean and white, is the righteousness of the saints, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and clothed in a new body as well. Now, to be honest, I've never been able to praise God like I wanted to. I don't have the vocabulary. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. But in the righteousness of Christ, clothed in a new body, I'm going to praise Him while the ages of eternity roll. You'll notice something else about heaven, our home. Heaven's sanitation. Revelation 21:27. And there shall no eyes enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The sanitary measures in heaven are perfect. There's no filth, no need of a vacuum cleaner. There are no sewer lines. There's no dirt or filth of any kind. There's no antiseptics. Heaven is a pure place, and the sanitary measures are absolutely perfect. Heaven is a holy place. Neither shall anything enter into it, anything that defileth. God will deliver us from the very presence of sin. He has saved us from the penalty of sin. He delivers us from the power of sin daily. But one day, He will deliver us from the very presence of sin. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Behind all the tragedies of life, behind the dark shadow of the grave, behind suffering and destruction is sin. But there will not be one trace of sin in that holy city. What a curse sin has brought in this world. Sin has cursed our nation. Sin has cursed our homes. Even as believers, times without number, we have to confess with tear-stained faces that we've sinned by disobedience to God or by some sin of commission. But I'm glad that heaven is a holy place. And sin will never raise its ugly head in that fair land. Sin grieves me. Sin fights me. Sin distresses me. Sin defeats me. Sin has sent my friends, some of my friends, and loved ones down to hell. What a place heaven will be. No more sin. No backsliding. No cold-heartedness. We'll live in one eternal state of revival blessing. Heaven is a holy place. And the angels are crying day and night, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Heaven is a happy place. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Neither shall there be any more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21, verse 1. And there was no more sea, not a literal sea, but all that the sea represents, all that the sea stands for. The sea is the origin of great storms, but there be no storms in heaven. All life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. One glimpse of Him, and we'll wonder that we ever complained in this race for God. There'll be no disappointments in heaven. When we're in heaven and the storms are all over, we'll know why there was darkness instead of sunshine. We'll understand why our cherished plans were stopped. There is an unseen hand that guides us to the land of unclouded day. And on our pilgrimage, we trust the unseen hand of God unto that blessed day when we shall reach the city of God. Jesus said today, "Shalt thou be with me in paradise?" And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Looking over Jordan, and what did I see? A band of holy angels coming forward to carry me home. Swing low, swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Stones are pelting against old Stephen. All of a sudden, Stephen said, "Wait a minute, hold it. Hit me again. I see Jesus." And he saw the Son of Man standing at the Father's right hand, going out to live with God.
Brad Elmer, the famous evangelist of the last century, said, on his deathbed, earth is receding, heaven is descending, and I'm going home. It does not matter if I go by mass transit in the rapture or by personal escort in death. Someday, I'm going to arrive in the city of God. Till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height, I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweetheart of prayer. I've gone to be with God. Who can describe the soul-filling ecstasy of arriving in heaven at last, inside the gates of pearl, walls of jasper, the avenues of the angels, all the saints that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and best of all, the Lamb in all of His glory. That city needs no light, for the Lamb is the light of that city. We're home, 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 home. Is not this the land of Beulah? Blessed, blessed Beulah land, where the flowers are always blooming and the sun is always bright. Some morning you'll find me touring in that city where the Son of God is the light. Going home, home, home to live with God. The close of the battle at Gettysburg, an army surgeon came back looking for the wounded and the suffering. He rode on his horse looking to see if someone was still living that he could help. He saw a man lying in a trench on his back. The surgeon looked at that man on his back and thought to himself, I'm too late. But at the same moment that surgeon thought that to himself, that it was too late, a smile came on that man's lips. And every minute or two that smile would play across that dying man's lips. The surgeon kneeled down by his side. And he heard that man whisper something. Every time that smile would come across his lips, that man would whisper the words, here, here, here. The surgeon shook him and aroused him and said, why are you saying, here, here? And with a faint voice, that soldier said, oh, doctor, they were calling the roll in heaven, and I was answering to my name, for long ago, I gave my heart to Christ. Heaven, heaven, my home, it will be worth it all when we see Him in all of His glory. Heaven, heaven, my home.